All right, greetings, friends. This is Tyler with Understand Contract Law and You Win. And in today's weekly audio free training, etc., I'm going to read some of a document teaching people what gives the authority to discharge debt. There's a lot of theories out there, and there's a lot of information being passed around out there about discharging debt. And some people are trying to discharge debt by writing checks or drafts off of their what they believe to have a secret U.S. Treasury account. Some people are trying to, in the process of that, some people are writing checks on closed checking accounts and then citing Black's Law Dictionary's definition of what a closed checking account is, citing the authority that gives them to do that, stating that the closed checking accounts are actually always technically open, you know, forever for set-offs and adjustments. So if you've been researching this for a while, maybe you have heard that. Years ago I heard that, but I still never felt comfortable. I researched it a lot. I never felt comfortable writing a check off of a closed checking account. But some people are doing that, and they are, you know, writing what they're doing on the outside of the check to be clear about, hey, this is not a check, blah, 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 this is for set off. There's people who've been doing that. I've seen a lot of people get in trouble for that, actually, but some people have not. So apparently, if you do that correctly, I've seen many cases of that actually working. But I like to stay away from things that can get into any degree of trouble. There may be more than one way of doing things, but I prefer to do something where there's no risk of any blowback or any serious trouble as far as criminal liability. It's just not worth it. Getting rid of your debt, discharging your debt, is really not worth getting into trouble over. You could just hide from the debt forever and get paid under the table and just keep that outstanding balance there for the rest of your life and just not think about it, not worry about it. I mean, it's not the most important thing to get a zero balance to risk going to jail for. So although I've seen some variety of different processes work, and we're going to talk about all of them, I am not comfortable providing examples or discussing or broadcasting procedures that I've seen some people get in trouble for. So that's one that I'm not really going to talk about. Another one that people are doing is sending promissory notes. The problem with sending drafting up your own promissory note. Now, the idea is that it's not just an idea, it's truth, but the concept is that the banks have every evidence of a debt is an asset to the banks. Right, your liability commercial paper is an asset to the banks. So, if you understand banking and if you've read all these things, modern money mechanics and all these, that's a free PDF you can get on the internet, produced by the Federal Reserve of Chicago, explaining what banking is. And it goes way above and beyond what normal people believe and what normal people are aware of. But it's really deep. It's really heavy to read. I prefer showing to people, there's a bunch of stuff on YouTube explaining all this stuff. I don't have anything off the top of my head right now, but there's lots of things on YouTube, and you can cross-reference it with a really deep, heavy reading like Modern Money Mechanics. But it's really heavy for people to grasp initially, but the information is out there. Most of the people on here know what I'm talking about. So what people do is they write up a promissory note, and if they owe so-and-so bank ABC $50,000, they write up a promissory note, say, oh, I promise to pay you $50,000. And they sign it, and they date it, and et cetera. And they mail that off to the bank or try to deliver that to the bank in some fashion. And the problem, and the reason why it doesn't really work, and I went over this in another audio, I have another audio called the Little Promissory Note That Couldn't. And one of the reasons why that doesn't really work, now again, you might win on a technicality, you might get a favorable judge, you might be able to force this down their throat a time or two, okay? Or you might just be causing enough of a problem and having enough of, you know, enough of what you're doing correct that the bank just might not want to deal with you anymore, might not be worth their hassle, might not be, you know, might not have passed through their risk management, might not have passed through, they might just have sold the debt to a third-party debt collector, cut their losses, and moved on, and not want to deal with you. But that's not necessarily a success that's duplicatable. That means that your process was correct. I don't count that as your process being correct. What I count as a process being correct is one that works 100% of the time. Now, that doesn't absolutely mean that they're going to roll up the red carpet for you with, drums and flying colors and, rainbows and, they're not going to roll up the red carpet all the time. But does something work all the time if you push it? And you may need to push some of these things a little bit. Nothing's going to be that simple where you're just going to mail something off and then, you know, within 72 hours your debt is discharged and that's it. And you can keep doing that over and over again. Of course, what you're doing is against the status quo. What you're doing is very outside the box. And if everyone did this, then everyone would just discharge their debts and the whole system would have to change in order to get people to start working again. And everyone would be lazy and not work. So, obviously, there's a lot of resistance. But, you know, what I can say is that I don't believe that that promissory note process is effective. And here's another reason why. We went over that in the audio, but here's another reason why is that your own promise to pay your own debt is just as good, you know, is you can't replace your own promise to pay bank X or party X with your own promise to pay. You still owe the debt. It's still a derivative of the original promissory note. So the original promissory note is either essentially still in legal effect or the new one that you are replacing it with. So if you can say, oh, here you go, this is replacing the old one, you still owe the money. And if your intent is to not pay the money, but just write up a document that you do, right? If your intent is to not, you know, make payments over the course of time other than this promissory note, right? If your attempt is to, because guys, the only thing that makes a promissory note valuable is not because you're saying, well, here you go, the debt is discharged, you know, I don't need to pay you anymore. The only thing that makes a promissory note itself valuable is that someone promises to pay at some point in the future. So if you don't intend to pay at some point in the future, then... Let me make sure my computer's plugged in. Then, I gotta plug this in, hang on. All right, there you go. If you don't intend to pay at some point in the future, then it's worthless. It's a worthless promissory note. Think about this. Let's look at some of these countries that, Obama and Secretary of State bombed Syria and Libya and Iraq and all these countries over the last 4 to 8 years. Now Libya was trying to create its own currency backed by gold, and they were trying. This is the reason why Hillary and Obama got Gaddafi, and she laughed when they captured him, and we saw him, he came, we killed him, ha ha ha, right? The reason why they took him out is because he was creating his own currency for Africa that was going to compete with the euro, the US dollar, etc. So they needed to get rid of him. Same thing with Syria. Syria did not kicked out the Rothschild bankers. The reason they took out Saddam Hussein is that he did not want to accept US dollars for oil, and he did not want to deal with the Rothschild bankers. So that's why they took them out. But any of these countries there that had their own currency of their old government system, and then the US comes in and bombs them and institutes a new government, right, with a new currency, etc., right? Let's just say, and I don't know that they replaced the currency or they still have the old currencies, but I'm just, for the sake of explaining, for the sake of this example, if that old government is dissolved and bankrupt because we bombed them to smithereens, okay, this government doesn't exist anymore, we're instituting a new government in Iraq, or a new government in Syria, or a new government in Libya. If the old government is dead, dissolved, destroyed, bankrupt, etc., not in existence anymore, not operational, and you create a new government with a new currency, and you start printing and coining new currency, no matter what form, fiat, gold and silver backed, I don't care. I don't care if it's backed by coffee beans, okay? Whatever it is. The old currencies are not worth anything, because what is the legal tender currency of a nation is, okay, right? You pull out a $100 bill if you're in America from your pocket and it says, you know, it's evidence that the United States of America government owes you $100, okay? But if the United States of America is destroyed, bombed into smithereens, they bomb the White House, everything is destroyed, and a new, you know, the country is divided up, and, you know, the northern half of the United States absorbs into Canada, and the southern half absorbs into Mexico, and there's no more United States anymore, then those bills are worth nothing, because there's no way for that United States to ever pay back the holder of that note. Okay, now don't say, oh, well, that's already the situation we have now. No, it's not the situation we have now. The United States may not have any money and may be bankrupt, but there's still a potential for the U.S. to complete its bankruptcy, pay off its national debt, no longer be $21 trillion in debt, and start, you know, not too long ago, John F. Kennedy tried to go back onto gold and silver, right? All these, you know, and then, you know, Ron Paul and the libertarian movements, they're all trying to audit the Federal Reserve and get us back onto gold and silver money and pay down the deficit, right? You know, this is what, you know, Donald Trump might be the next president. He wants to pay down the deficit and get out of being in debt. So if we actually fix or go back to the old system, which is totally within our means to create over the next few decades or hundreds of years or thousands of years, if at some point in the future there's a potential possibility, and it's a strong possibility, I see that this things are really changing. It's a strong possibility that we could go in 1,000 years, and at some point over 1,000 years, it's very possible that the U.S. will have silver and gold and be able to pay back people that are holding on to its dollar notes. Okay? Does that make sense? But if you bomb a country into smithereens and it's completely done and absorbed into new countries or whatever, then there's no chance of that happening, because the country doesn't even exist anymore. The corporate government doesn't even exist anymore. The government doesn't exist anymore. It's done. Okay, so the reason why the U.S. dollars have value is because there's some possibility that the U.S. may have money and pay the holder of those pieces of paper. Okay, so it's a possibility. And now, your promissory notes that you create, it's kind of the same thing. As long as you're alive, Yeah, listen, let me just give you an example. If you're old, if you're 90 years old and you write a promissory note, "Oh, I promise to pay you $1 million," and you're broke and you have nothing, you're retired, you don't have a job, who's gonna care about that promissory note? 'Cause you don't have a potential of paying them back. So what I'm trying to say is you got to look at how old someone is, how big someone is, what the cash flow is, what the circumstances are, what their work ethic is, what their intentions are. And if there's a potential for them to pay that, I'm not saying that the promissory note in itself doesn't have value. I'm saying for it to have value, an outside observer would need to look at those circumstances. Now, one of those circumstances is that you don't intend to pay anyone any more than just that promissory note, then it's a worthless promissory note. The only thing that gives the promissory note value is that you agree to pay in addition to the promissory note. Does that make sense? On the US dollar bills, it doesn't say $100. Oh no, just kidding. Disclaimer, we actually never have any intention in the future of paying. Then it would be worthless. Does that make sense? So these people that are drafting up these promissory notes and these set-off bonds and all these different things, if it says the language in there that we don't intend to pay you other than this, then you need to consider whether or not that negates the effect of your instrument. Just something to consider. So when you are trying to give a promissory note to discharge your debt, the only way that that would work is if you negotiate a promissory note from someone else to pay your debt. If you took hundreds of dollars, you owed $1,000 and you took 10 $100 bills and negotiated that to pay the debt, then obviously that would work. That's why people accept. But I'm not saying you have to pay with Federal Reserve notes. I'm saying there has to be value in the notes that you negotiate, and your own self-created promissory note to try to pay your own debt with to the same, it just doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. Again, someone might win here or there in a technicality, but overall the process is faulty and doesn't work. And so now, what if you took a promissory note? Let's say that you own your own business and yada yada. Let's say that you had clients that didn't have the money to pay you and said and signed a promissory note instead and said, I tr and the understanding is that they truly intend to pay you again, right? Over the course of time, I'll pay you $20 a month over the course of the next 5 years. And you guys sign that and notarize that, and there's a real contract with that. If you're giving them goods and services and they're giving you the promissory note and maybe a down payment, maybe they pay you partially what you're asking for and the promissory note. And then you take that note, especially if they're making monthly payments on it, and you can document and say, "Yeah, this person's good on their word." Well, that note is valuable. You can go sell that note to a bank, or you can go take that note. You can flip around on the back and transfer the title of the note and say, "I, so and so, the owner of this promissory note, hereby for value and consideration, exchange and sell and irrevocably transfer the rights, titles, and interests thereof to third party C," right? Originally, you only had party A and party B. Now you have third party C. And then they say, "I accept," blah, 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 and you both sign it. Well, now that par third party becomes a third party debt collector in a sense. Okay? But do you see how you can buy or obtain or purchase third, you know, promissory notes from of two people, or between people and corporations, or between, you know, whatever sorts of legal entities, churches, trusts, whatever, you can buy promissory notes, and then you actually have something that has value. And if you try to negotiate and transfer that to the bank, that is 100% within your right to do so. Now, I'm not saying they may or may not accept them, but they have value. If you go to someone and say, hey, I don't have any money to pay you now, but I'm looking to just get this debt eliminated, but I have these notes of these other people that are making monthly payments, that are good on their word, that have good credit ratings, that are not, you know, they're making monthly payments, and they're going to be paying this guy, and they're going to be supposed to pay this guy, and they're supposed to pay this guy. So if we transfer the rights, titles, and interests, they'll be paying you instead of paying the original party A that they were paying. So you see how it works? So that's why your own promissory note doesn't work, because you don't intend on making any other payments than the original promissory note. And I'm not saying, now, the original promissory note, if it's valuable and it's got all those criteria, it absolutely is an asset to the bank. Why? Or it's an asset to anybody, private individual, company. Why is it an asset? Because it's almost guaranteed funds. It's valuable, right? If you're on Social Security, as long as the system still exists, and you're collecting a Social Security check every month, isn't that valuable? Isn't that, you know, when you can go to the mailbox and get a Social Security check once a month, or a disability check, or an unemployment check, would you just take that and throw that away? No, because you can get something valuable from that. You have resources that you can use to support your lifestyle. That's why it's valuable, okay? So again, these are some things that people are doing, and we wanted to touch upon them.